This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Reaction Monday to you. Texans get a victory right here. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula. Where, Figgy, I feel like there should be one person who specifically lays out what the Texans had happen yesterday. I think you know who it is. Let me hear it.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
It doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what it looked like.
Doesn't
matter what it looked like.
You got AFC champions back to back. Your Houston.
Give me my
Texas
T-shirt.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, I need that. I need that expeditiously. Congratulations to Houston, Texas, getting a victory, 20-12 over the Miami Dolphins at home at NRG Stadium. You heard that right here on Sports Radio 610 yesterday. Man, it feels good, doesn't it?
It feels really good. It feels really good. A shout out to Bill O'Brien, and you know, you guys know this. I'm the one that says, you know, division championships are important, but you got to have higher aspirations than that, higher standards. And
this is not the time, Lopez.
Yeah, but, yeah. No.
Come on, man.
But this division championship, the way it happened yesterday, kind of gives you a little more hope. Maybe not the hope you thought you were going to have coming into the year, but a little more hope overall.
Okay, well, yeah. Let's get going here on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday, a Texans Victory Monday, and of course an AFC South Championship Monday. Get involved with the program, first and foremost. The Twitch and YouTube both open for you. And then, of course, the text line, 713-572-4610. Like, was this the most complete game that the Texans put on paper for you? Because, I mean, you talked about the way it happened. I think that also, when you're talking about spinning this thing forward, trying to see what this means going forward, and then also, obviously, the way that the championship, the South, AFC South championship comes together, that's an important question to ask.
Was it the best game of the year?
Right, that's basically what I'm trying to get to, and I think, what are your contenders when you immediately jump
Buffalo
out and think about it? Like, right, Buffalo game,
yeah.
Okay, the Detroit Lions game, even though you ultimately lose that, I think the style of caliber of play, I think,
that
ends
was a
up.
Half though.
Okay,
yeah, that was a half. Here's why I think Texans fans have a little better hop in their step today. This was practically perfect in terms of how you're going to win moving forward, because the other part of this is, You know, you're coming off a bye. You needed to make some adjustments. You needed your stars to shine. And in just about every way, that happened. Just about every way. We'll get to the maybe the little nitpicking later or whatever. But your stars, Danielle Hunter, badass. Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud, Derek Stingley, Nico Collins, badasses. And then you got Christian Harris back. That is one bad dude that was sorely missed. And then I think the overarching thing here, Reggie, this is a defense that can win games. This is a defense that flat out has won games, wins games, and makes quarterbacks look really, really bad, especially at NRG Stadium. This was just about complete. You also got C.J. Stroud with glimpses. And you and I were talking about this in the press box when we were watching the game together in the first half. And like C.J. Stroud gave us those glimpses of special C.J. Stroud. Now, you can't say, oh, what a game. You know, he just dominated. Hey, Josh Allen, look out. You know, all that stuff. But he gave us glimpses of what it needed. Nico Collins, the best receiver in the NFL, arguably. And I think right now, if you look at the
breadth. You're doing that one after this game, huh?
No. After what we've seen.
Okay.
All year long.
I was like, how many yards did my man put up, right? Like, and I'm not blaming him for that, but it's just. I was like, okay, this is not the week where it makes it easy to do that necessarily, even though, right, he has the two touchdowns, which are very important, but 17 yards on four receptions, right?
But he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy that gets it done. So it's just about everything you want from the Texans in this type of game. And I think they have that template. They have that path of how they're going to win these games.
So you're looking at this as a template. I don't know if I go that far.
Like, I absolutely think so.
Okay, like I think that the defense clearly shows itself to be mm-hmm. an incredible defense. In fact, let's go back to the earlier part of the season where that one of the hopes that I had for this defense, and I think more than just me, like more people out there, turnover defense.
Mm-hmm.
This team is third in turnover differential. In the league, like that, this team, you clearly could take the football away. In fact, one of the things, I don't want to get to the negative portion of this yet, but like one of the things that was nice about this game is offensively, you didn't do a ton, but you didn't have to because your defense gave you great field position with multiple mm-hmm. turnovers. Right, you have two interceptions from Derek Stingley. Kalen Bullock adds another one. Defensive line. By the way, let's go ahead and ISO real quick for me, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. Defensive line. I'd like to speak specifically to you, Danielle Hunter. Will Anderson Jr., go ahead and add Foley Fatukasi, Tommy Togiai, Tim Settle, all you fine folks. Danico Autry, don't want to forget him. My bad. I came into this game like, look, man, that Dolphins team, they get the ball out quickly. I know that those tackles are, you know, going to be out for them, but I don't know how impactful the defensive line could be in this one. And they were like, bleep you, Reggie.
Yeah.
And you know what? I appreciate you for that, right? Like, especially even the turnover play, the forced fumble that you get, right? That is the whole defensive line coming out here and showing up. You got, it starts with Danico Autry just bull rushing up the middle. Then you get, who was it off the end? It was it Will Anderson coming off the end?
Oh, with the strip sack?
And the strip sack.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you end up with Danielle Hunter almost picking up the ball for a scoop and score. And then Tim Settle actually falling on the football to make sure that you get the turnover. The whole defensive line was like, bleep you, Reggie. You know what? Thank you for that. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, this is a team that, again, this is the template. That's why I say that. You've got the defensive line. Let's look at individual sacks. Right now, as you're looking at them, Danielle Hunter is second in the NFL in sacks. Will Anderson is sixth. They have two of the top six players in sacks. Then you go to the secondary. Derek Stingley, I mean, that guy is just making play after play after play, five interceptions. And then you look at the other thing that's big in this game for me, making the plays at the biggest moments. Derek Stingley more than anything. Fake punt, shout out Frank Ross, in a huge moment to get going in the third quarter. Those sacks, the stuffing players, in the fourth quarter, in the second half, when frankly, the Dolphins had a little life. Like, it's not just making the big plays, and the defense can turn you over, as you've talked about a lot, but they make them in the biggest moments. This is the template. This is how this team gets there, and that's why I think Texans fans need to be pretty dang excited about
it. Yeah, I feel like you should also personally be excited. You got a bottle of wine coming your way.
Got a bottle of wine, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just any bottle of wine.
What is it?
Camus.
Man. All right, very good. Yeah, I still
Camus.
Don't.
Just make sure it say Camus on it.
Yeah.
Not Jameis.
That's right.
Yeah, but Christian Harris plays in this game, and not only does he take the field, he plays, what, like 80% of the snaps?
82%.
And it wasn't, you don't get 82% of the snaps if you out there stinking up the joint. Like, he looked more ready to play than I would have imagined. Mm-hmm. And it was so helpful in this game, because one of the things that you kept bringing up during the first half of this game was that you saw Miami getting the ball to the flats and trying to get the ball to their, you know, guys in their speedy guys in space to go and do things. And having him along with other linebackers, like, and I mean, just the entirety of the defense swarming and moving in those, moving laterally. Man, it made it very abundantly clear that this team could take away most anything that you're going to put on the table. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, this defense was impressive. You mentioned the special teams getting that big moment where they pick up a huge chunk play on a fourth down, keep things rolling, give you an opportunity to go score. And the offense did just enough, right? You ended up getting scores in the end zone. And both of those plays, right, you started talking about this, both of those plays were C.J. Stroud feeling a little bit more comfortable, feeling a little bit more like what we expect from C.J. Stroud. Like, I felt I had a little glint in my eye, because that was C.J. Stroud with time to throw, C.J. Stroud, maneuvering the pocket well, C.J. Stroud feeling a little bit comfortable in that space and having a little bit of time. That's something that we have to talk about with all of this. And then finding in the scramble drill, finding target receiver number one, Nico Collins, in fantastic ways. Like, that was one of the things that was comforting that made me go, huh, maybe that guy's rejuvenated off of the R&R of a bye
week. Yeah, because it wasn't just, like, it's hard to, like, you can't put a number on it. There's no stat. There's no data. But you can tell when you trust your vision, when you trust your eyes, when a quarterback is running for his life out of trouble or finding time and stepping up in the pocket or stepping out into the flat. And that was the difference. Like, he wasn't just, I mean, it you had to see it to know it. You know, it was like he wasn't running for his life. He was finding time. He was, you know, balanced, obviously good technique, good form, stepping up, finding Nico, finding other receivers. It wasn't by any stretch oh my gosh game about by C.J. Stroud. But as I said at the very beginning, you could see the C.J. Stroud we know. He was on the field.
Yeah, and that's what made me feel like this was one of the best full games. Plus, as you mentioned, right? Or maybe you haven't mentioned it yet. I'm just preparing for the frustration. The messaging that D'Amico Ryans has put out there landed all the way around. Because what did they do in this game that sometimes they have some issues with? They finished it.
Oh.
Right? They closed this football game out. And, of course, it helps with some of the circumstances of the game being ahead and also those types of things. But they went ahead and they made sure to finish this game out strong, closing the game with an interception. To make sure that you keep Miami just far enough out of arm's reach to get it done. Like, that, it's evident, man, that this team still plays with a level of vigor, a level of energy that was that means that they still believe, well, not just believe, but that they still, like, fully are able to buy in and translate that to the field with the messaging that's coming.
And out. I feel as if we've seen this and heard all about this swarm thing. I feel like there were several plays where, you know, I think I turned to Sean at one point and I said, now that right there is swarm, where it was a little dump off on the right, dude cut up to the middle, and there were four Texans just closing.
That was Devon Achane.
That was Achane, yeah. I couldn't remember exactly. And just four Texans just absolutely swarming. I mean, you got a defense. You got a defense that can do some things that other defenses just don't do. You've got CJ showing those glimpses. How much does he improve from here? You know, we will parse out some of the you know, I said practically perfect. It wasn't perfect. There are some things that can change and get better. Yet, you know, we would only hope. But overall, it's like, here's the thing. Is anything going to change about this squad in the next 3 weeks, in the next three games?
That's a good question. And I mean, defensively, I don't think that you're looking for more change other than,
no, that's going to be the defense the rest of the way,
right? And I think that was the probably the most encouraging thing of the things that you saw.
But here's the important part, right? This is going to be the offense too. They came off a bye week, and I guess we'll do it here because we just brought it up. Still couldn't really run the ball. Bobby Slowick still couldn't really, you know, fine. You mentioned Nico Collins and some of these other play calls. Still couldn't quite do it. But
they did spread it around.
But they spread it around. The offensive line was okay. You know, they had their moments where you're kind of shaking your head. But overall, they were okay, especially when it comes to pass protection.
Yeah, pass protection was, and the offensive line presented this whole weekend. The offensive line presented so many interesting things to, like, try and parse through, and we'll try and do that later in the show. But you get the musical chairs, right? You get Titus Howard at left guard. You get Blake Fisher, the rookie, at right tackle. And it felt like they acquitted themselves kind of well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was saying,
it's like, okay.
I can't wait to actually get into the All-22 film today and get a better look at that.
Yeah.
But C.J. Stroud, literally in this game, I was just looking up this stat. C.J. Stroud had the third highest time to throw this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you had Chop Robinson. Now, this offense, or defensive line, rather, is not incredible at applying pressure. But Chop Robinson, as an individual off of that edge, especially against a Blake Fisher who was just coming back into this after not having a lot of instances starting. Literally only one other instance starting on that right end. That was against Buffalo earlier this year when Titus was out. And he handled that fairly well. He had some lapses later on in the game. I think Chop got him, especially. There was one instance where Chop gets off the ball like this, right? Right when the ball is snapped, and he is able to beat Blake Fisher. But for the most part, this five on the offensive line gave C.J. Stroud an opportunity to throw the football. And he had the time to throw, just evidenced by the simple numbers of it. Third longest time to throw in this game. That felt encouraging as well, right? Like some of the things that have been factors factors in the offense not necessarily being able to get to the place that they want looked a little bit more encouraging coming off of the opportunity of self-scout and a little bit of R&R for the team. And I think that's where I have a little bit of optimism to your question of are there instances or opportunities for some of these things to get better? It feels like yes, but I also
see,
like
I'm a little
you
got
to put rubber to road. We're getting real late. Like it's getting early late at this point, or getting late early rather.
Yeah, I'm a little different on that. I think this is the offense. This is what they're going to do. They came off a bye week. They were going to make some adjustments. They made some moves on the offensive line, and they still weren't overwhelming. Here's where I am optimistic with the offense. There were some drops, a couple of crucial drops. One by John Metchie, I believe Dalton Schultz had a drop.
Dalton Schultz had one. I'm interested to see like what other people look at, because there was like a 3rd and 15 in the first half where Nico Collins kind of is headed down. He's trying to return back to coming back towards C.J. Stroud, and he's going down to the ground and he doesn't get a handle on it. I felt like it hit him kind of in the chest, maybe almost in the face mask. I kind of look at that one as a drop, considering his status as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were some instances where you had opportunities and completions that you just did not make off of drops.
Yeah, so that's where my optimism is. You have C.J. Stroud clearly taking a step in the right direction, clearly the much more confident quarterback, and some receivers that had some drops. Maybe, as that gets quote-unquote cleaned up, as they like to say, the offense can more than carry its load. But I keep going back to the what was it called, Figgy? The not the kickoff party or whatever it was before the season
premiere?
The season premiere.
Season premiere.
I keep going back to that because, there were some defensive players on the stage with Mark Vandermeer. We're sitting there, having our discussion and having a pop or two. And they made it very, very clear. I think it was Jimmy Ward said, they were asking about the defense because there was all this hype about the offense and the five-headed monster and C.J. Stroud and MVP talk and, all Stephon Diggs coming in and all that. And Jimmy Ward very clearly said, "Now we think we have a defense that is going to win some games." But this was before the first game ever kicked off.
Yeah.
Said, "No, we think we have a defense that is going to win some games." They've won a lot of games.
The
defense has won a lot of games. They won yesterday's game. They will continue to win games. And that's why I say fingers crossed on the offense, but this is what we have to expect the rest of the way. And if this is what we expect on the defense the rest of the way, they're going to have some shots.
Yeah, but not to do too much of this, of like comparing one sport to another, doing the crossover here. I do wonder if that is that, what concerns me a little bit is, hey, man, you're talking kind of Rockets-like, where it's like, hey, we're going to play lockdown defense, and then we're just going to try and squeeze enough out of the offense. And yes, that can get you some wins. Clearly, the Rockets are doing a good thing there, and obviously you saw the victory that the Texans acquired yesterday against the Dolphins 20-12 to get them to 9-5, and ultimately with some other circumstances give them the AFC South title. But how malleable or how much margin of error does that give you, right? It feels like a very narrow path to victories, but at least what's nice is that it has been proven as a path to some victories.
There have been teams that have played exactly the way the Texans have played. And maybe we'll get into this more specifically tomorrow, but there have been teams that have had the exact template that the Texans have: turnover, opportunistic defense, shutdown defense, pressure on the quarterback defense, with just enough offense to get it done. There are teams that have done that and been built like that and played like that have gone a pretty long way.
Yeah. But when we're talking about defense at that point, and maybe this is something we ultimately take a look at and see if we can get an idea on, usually if that's the path, your defense has to be historical, like a all-time historical level defense. Mm-hmm. I would love to go back and look at some of the metrics and see if that's where this defense is, because it doesn't feel quite like that. It does feel like one of the best in this league, mm-hmm. like an elite defense, but all-time historic type defense, it doesn't feel quite like that, which is why, hey, offense, let's pick it up just a little bit.
Some of those historic defense, the defenses that went a long way, didn't have a quarterback like C.J. Stroud that can dial it up in a given moment.
And you had a couple of those moments. Those touchdowns both represented a moment where C.J. Stroud had dialed it up.
Yeah.
And ultimately, man, for the moment being, right, we can still embrace the idea that you got a 20-12 victory. The Houston Texans 9-5. It feels good. And there's some other news around the league that also gives you a little bit more optimism for some things that you could see in the final weeks of the season. But again, Bill O'Brien, you want to let me know what happened yesterday, just you know, so we can be on more of a celebratory tip once again.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Looking forward
what
to
what was
playoffs.
Funny about that, Brian T. Smith wasn't even asked. He was asking something totally different.
Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had that in the barrel.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
He had that in the barrel.
You need to hold that one. A back-to-back AFC champion Houston Texans. It's a victory reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. It's going to be a fun one as we keep going. In fact, let's keep going with this. Coming up next, the OG's passing thoughts. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
I will tell you a story. I'll tell you a bunch of little stories that pop into my pea brain as I'm watching these games. And yesterday, the first one, I'm always on a timeline type of thing, Reggie, but we got the news an hour and a half before the game officially that Titus Howard was going to be, well, it wasn't even that. We got the news before that, but Titus Howard was going to be starting at left guard, Blake Fisher at right tackle. Here's the thing, and we might dig in a little deeper later, but my first passing thought was, all right, Kenyon Green is not a part of their plans now, and maybe, probably, not a part of their plans in the future. Guys, by definition, yesterday, they had options. They could have gone with Zach Thomas at left guard, Kenyon Green at left guard, but Kenyon Green was a healthy scratch from the starting lineup, and that means they went with Titus Howard and Blake Fisher at right. The bigger question is, you know, where is Kenyon Green moving forward? And right now, he's not in the plans.
Yeah, I there's a lot of questions I have about that situation, because there's a lot of questions are brought up just by the various ways that this happens, right? Obviously, Kenyon Green was being reactivated or, like, you know, brought back to practice this week,
mm-hmm.
and we know that there can be some you know hesitation, or maybe not hesitation, but some care, deep care given to players returning from injury mm-hmm. by this Texas team.
But he was healthy. They said Friday, no issues.
Yeah.
With Kenyon Green,
and so you also had him splitting practice mm-hmm. snaps. Allegedly or reportedly with Zach Thomas, mm-hmm. and then neither of them end up playing. They end up doing the thing where they do a little musical chairs to get the five best linemen on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some real questions as to where you go from here with that left guard, with Kenyon Green, who you invested a first-round pick in. Is that something where you're willing to move on? Is this going to be the offensive line continuing forward? Or what happens when Juice Scruggs gets
back?
That's
my second part of this. What happens when Juice Scruggs is healthy? Because, you know, they were talking about, they being specifically Nick Caserio, he's a better center than he is a guard. They were talking about some of the issues. We know some of the issues. They were running the ball. And this offensive line was okay, maybe a starting point. So what do you do with Juice Scruggs?
Yeah, all of that. I think a lot of that remains to be seen still. But I am very intrigued to get some level of answers. As of right now, I'm just happy that you got CJ Stroud with enough time to throw to make some things happen in this game, and it felt a lot better, right? Just the natural release of, oh, it is not a pain to watch this offensive line in the same ways that it had been in some weeks prior.
Another passing thought here. Why haven't they been doing this with Tank Dell all year long? Why have we not seen him on punt returns all year long? This guy is a weapon. We were talking in the press box. He's going to break one. He might break more than one. He is something on those punt returns. Why hasn't this been happening? I guess we just appreciate what we have now.
It seemed like they kind of value him more as a receiver, like just being part of the receiving game more than the kick return.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I feel like he could be doing more receiving, but I think it makes sense for him to be on a kick return.
Yeah, and I think that we saw that just in the week prior to the bye week as well. A little bit more of that. Mm-hmm. This feels like an acknowledgement of the fact that they have not been able to get him as involved in the passing game generally. So it's like, hey, we have this dude who has a lot of talent. Plus, it's not like you have been doing a ton with the returns. And it's like, find ways to get him going. We talked about it. I think we used the metaphor, maybe the simile. I don't even know what the right part of speech is. But we compared it to in basketball. See the ball go through the hoop, right? Yeah. Give him an opportunity to get the legs moving, get the ball in his hand, and do things. And I think you immediately saw him in the end around in the first quarter, and you go, okay, maybe some of that is an aspect of getting the ball in his hands on a return. And he had a couple of solid returns, and like you said, it does feel like he will break one.
And maybe they were being overly cautious, you know, given, he got shot in the leg in the offseason, and he had an injury last year. But this guy is a weapon. My whole thing with Tank Dell is get the ball in his hands as many times as you can, as creatively as you can.
Right.
So that's huge.
I think some of it is like the acknowledgement of, hey, he is taking an even bigger role in this offense. So like generally when that happens, you don't necessarily put those guys in the return roles until necessary. And it does feel like it's become a little bit more necessary. But what was nice about it on top of it, I think Sean turns to us in the press box and goes, that looks like U of H Tank. And I think that's really the big thing, is getting him back to that place where he looks explosive, and I think that the word to use is dangerous.
Yeah.
And he looked dangerous in that game.
Another passing thought here, speaking of Sean, he's going to be mentioned here in a second. Bobby Slowick really didn't show us a lot, man. He really didn't.
The opening script was really solid.
Yeah, okay.
How was the rest of the movie?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Well, I reserve a little bit of judgment to really getting a chance to actually go back through the film in a better way. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans. But it did feel like they acknowledged some of the things that were happening, and they didn't run the football nearly as much. I think it was early on, and I looked down like, hey, Joe Mixon still only has one carry. He ends up with 12 over the total of the game, and they did some of the things that we were talking about that hurt the Jets, right? They got the ball to Mixon in the air. We had 6 targets, and he was literally the leading receiver on yards-wise in this game. Like, you had some of the smart ways to attack this defense, I think. I thought you had some good plays that get out there, and some of it I do wonder if it is. He was correct in saying some of it is the execution of getting out here and doing it better.
Yeah, I disagree, man. They have 85 yards in the first half. Their points came on short fields. One of which they couldn't convert into a touchdown.
They did have more. They did stay ahead of the chains a lot better in this game. A little bit,
but 85 yards, whatever it was, 80 something yards in the first half. I'm not going to pile on here. I'm just saying every element of this team, you could see where the bye week and the preparation, the 2 weeks preparation, helped them. Whether it was special teams or the defense or just the hop in their step, they looked a little more refreshed. CJ Stroud looked better. But the offensive play calling didn't. And I mentioned Sean at one point, actually going into the half, when the offense was really just not completing drives, he turned to us and said, this made me feel like Bobby Slowick didn't do anything but play video games during the 2 weeks.
Yeah, I will say it.
Oh, why you got to do Bobby like that?
Right. What's your problem against video games?
I didn't say it.
I think that there wasn't like a huge, wild, imaginative shift.
Obvious, yeah.
In there. But I do want to take a look at like what shifts, maybe minor, in a more minor way, did actually happen in the game. It's an oddity that doesn't actually connect, but it just reminded me that all of CJ's completions were against zone defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do wonder, like, what that oddity, like, what kind of things we can actually suss out as we circle back around and look at this game more deeply. But, yeah, I feel you, right? The offense was not spectacular, but I think considering the ways that the offense, the issues that it had, you did find some fixes for some of the things, or even if they're, you know, temporary, it did feel like, okay, we're moving in the right direction with this all. It just feels like there's not going to be a high aspiration for this offense this year.
All right, don't tell anybody my next passing thought, all right? This is just among us. This is just between us.
Let me cut the music down.
Yeah,
then, man.
Don't tell anybody what I'm about to say. I feel like the rest of the league is sleeping on Frank Ross as a head coaching candidate. It really, I mentioned it last year that, you know, the guy
man,
is a,
shut the hell up, man.
I know, don't tell anybody.
We don't want him to leave.
If you don't tell anybody, he won't. So you guys don't tell anybody.
Okay.
He is always prepared. The team is never makes big mistakes. Now, how many mistakes, like flat out mistakes, have you seen on special teams this year? He's got personality. Special teams are always, you know, at the top of the heap. There's just something about Frank Ross. Keep in mind, John Harbaugh was a special teams coach.
Yes.
Coordinator. I feel like Frank Ross.
So was Joe Judge.
And Joe Judge as well. I feel like Frank Ross at some point.
Not to compare Frank Ross to Joe Judge. I just wanted to make that note.
I feel like Frank Ross has some head coaching qualities. I really do.
The energy that he brings, like, I think special teams coordinators in general are overlooked a little bit for these types of situations, especially in the modern NFL where you want the X's and O's advantage that a play caller is going to bring to a team. Team owners have kind of leaned towards. But how much I feel like with head coaching, a lot of the job is being able to be somebody's boss.
Yeah.
And
he's good at that.
Being a play caller doesn't always tell you about that, but you know what it does? Not having like a specific set of players, you have to take for lack of a better term, the scraps from other places, right? And you have to get them to gel together and play at a high level. And Frank Ross definitely does that to extreme degree with this Texas team.
This passing thought might have been classified as a confession, but I've got a couple of other confessions for 12-20. Every time I see injuries and moments like what happened to Grant DuBose, I kind of feel bad for loving football as much as I do.
Yeah.
I really do.
100%.
I feel bad because this is it's just not normal, man.
No.
It's not a normal thing.
Not at all.
It's like there's a reason that gladiators, you know, are no more. They call them modern day gladiators. Well, there's a reason we don't have gladiators anymore. It was horrific to watch.
Yeah,
you know,
we the violence is part of the charm of the game.
Yeah.
And I use charm kind
no,
of.
No, it is.
But
like I said, I'm not going to change, but I feel kind of bad. I feel dirty.
No, absolutely. 100%. Right. Like this would not be happening if we were not consuming it. Right. There's an audience for it and we are the audience. And that's why they get out here and they play the car crash sport, as I call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is some acknowledgement that has to be had of that. Of course, you try and make it as safe as possible, but you can only make the safer cigarettes so safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. And this is we're smoking packs and packs of the safer cigarette here.
By the way, Adam Schefter reporting movement in all his extremities, still in Houston at the hospital. And they're monitoring him. They're treating him. Last one here for you, because I didn't mention this during our talk about the defense in the first segment. We came into this game and we said tackling, tackling, tackling. This was one of the best, if not the best tackling game the Texans defense ever had at a moment that they needed it the most. I mean, these guys, you talk about the sideline to sideline stuff that they were, their game plan was against the Texans. That was about as good as or better than I've seen all year.
Yeah, and some of it was, again, shout out to Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans. Like, there were instances where we know this team likes kind of playing those cornerbacks off at times. They were like, look, we'll play those cornerbacks up. Those safeties will be deep, you know, so that we can make sure to, you know, not allow those deep plays. But then you saw Kamari Lassiter and maybe more to a bigger degree, Stingley and then Ward, getting up there and making tackles in the flats when it was absolutely necessary against a team that wants to get those guys in space. No, this defense did an incredible job in that regard, for sure. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are the OG's passing thoughts after the Texans get a 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins and provide one half of the things that were necessary to get the AFC South championship or title locked in. Somebody was a little peeved at me using the word championship. It is. I mean, you're the champion of the AFC South. I understand, like, there are higher aspirations and everything. But, yeah, that is technically correct, which, as I often say, is the best kind of correct. But coming up next, This was another instance where an opposing quarterback came in and didn't look like the best version of themselves. Tua Tagovailoa threw a few interceptions. There was like four turnovers in this game. Question of the day. Get involved, 713-572-4610. What is it about NRG or Houston or whatever that makes opposing quarterbacks bleep the bed? I want serious or non-serious answers alike. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
It's a Texans victory. Reaction Monday brought to you by Shoppers John Deere as the Texans get a 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins, and a lot of what helped that was the defense was phenomenal, creating four turnovers. Count them, 4 turnovers in this game, and a few of those, I believe three of them, were interceptions by one Tua Tagovailoa. Had a passer rating of 60.
60.
Flat.
And could have had another couple of turnovers.
Yeah, probably could have.
On back-to-back plays.
Kalen Bullock had another instance where he could have had an interception. That could have been four interceptions, right? He had actually said, like, he was asked by his locker, and he was like, he didn't think he was that close, so he batted it away. Like, yeah. he just did not realize how easy the interception would have been in that moment. So
that would have been
four, right? There was a fumble involved as well. Like, Tua Tagovailoa, like, I don't think he was terrible, but he wasn't good.
Yeah.
And that falls in line with a few instances of quarterbacks not playing all that well. Obviously, there's Josh Allen, mm-hmm. who, by the way, looking phenomenal right now, which I guess even raises the value MVP. Of that particular game.
MVP.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
MVP. There was a 5-interception game that was had by
Jared Goff
there. So, question of the day. What is it about the Texans, NRG Stadium, or Houston in general that just makes quarterbacks bleep themselves? 713-572-4610. All answers are welcomed, whether serious or unserious alike.
It's not just like Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams. You just mentioned it. Jared Goff, Josh Allen, Tua. I mean, what is it about Houston that makes opposing quarterbacks who come here suck eggs?
I think they just come here, have a good time. They eat all the food here and all that stuff.
It's great food.
Mexican food.
Yeah, by time game time come around, they fool and stuffed, mm-hmm. and they making mistakes.
Is it the old strip clubs?
It is legendary. It is one of the legendary spots mm-hmm. in these great United States. If you would like to see some shake, you know what I mean? Like, that is something. So maybe that is what it is. I don't know. Which power rank for me, the three quarterbacks that we have kind of prominently placed here on likelihood that particular vice would be the one to take them down between Josh Allen, Jared Goff, and Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, I think Josh Allen's number one, isn't he?
And that's the thing. I don't know that there's a clear-cut one that jumps to me as number one. There's a clear-cut one that jumps to me as number three. I don't know why, but Jared Goff feels like a milk drinker. I say that with all due respect, because I want to say with no disrespect, but I feel like there's some implied there. But like Jared Goff does not really strike me as
a milk drinker.
You know what that means?
Oh yeah.
Okay, very good.
Oh yeah.
He feels like he follows the rules.
I mean, that barbecue and Mexican food might be on to
something. It might be heavy, man. Yeah. That might be heavy on him. Yeah. Somebody said 832. They're not used to neutral fields. What are you doing right now?
That's cold. Texans don't play on. Is it the stench from the Astrodome?
All right.
Is it like ghosts of the House of Pain?
Well, someone said the ghost of the Rosencopter makes him bleep the bed.
But that was the Texans that had.
Yeah,
the
but still the possibility of that happening, people I guess are keeping them together. Somebody said the emptiness in the stands makes quarterbacks think it's a preseason game. Okay, all right. We're going in. Why are we all kicking Texas fans in the nuts right now? Like, that feels like we have an opportunity to have fun at other people's expense here.
Somebody said the mysterious drones in the sky. By the way. I don't know about y'all saw all that, right?
I actually didn't. Like, I snuck into the stadium a little late yesterday.
I think it was over New York City.
Okay. I was like, if there were drones at NRG, I ain't see that.
Just Google it if you get a second. It's kind of scary, but no, there were none here. All the hookah smoke and the baddies in the crowd. The hookah smoke and the baddies in the crowd.
Yeah, man. The views of humanity mm-hmm. absolutely will do something for you. I will say that. 346, we fill their water coolers with lean and Fanta. I can see that, man. A little promethazine on the sideline for sure. I could. That would explain a few things, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're just not seeing quite
they
clearly.
Ate so many shrimp.
They got iodine poisoning. Absolutely. Let's see some other ones that have come in.
Somebody said, I know what it's not. It's not because of the crowd. Man, there's some shots. There's some shots at the crowd.
Goodness gracious. Texans get the benefit of home cooking with the officiating. How many Texas fans do you think?
First time I heard that.
Yeah, how many Texas fans do you think?
I thought it was us against them.
Exactly.
Us against all y'all.
Versus all y'all.
Aziz already? We already forgot about all that.
Somebody said they get nervous seeing the tailgating when driving to the stadium.
Could see that too.
Very possible. There was a lot of teal in those stands, man.
Yeah.
There was a lot of teal in those stands. I didn't get the full effect of it because I didn't tailgate yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But getting into the stadium, I was like, ooh, there's enough. Mm-hmm. There's enough people.
What about
here?
The humidity?
That was one of the things I thought about. But I was like, that would be a weird thing to say as you are playing the Miami bleeping Dolphins.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how much we could be like, yo, the humidity got them messed up when them boys in particular.
Or how was the weather out there yesterday? Was it cool or?
No. No, it was
hot.
It was nice. It was, okay.
Because they can't play in cold weather, man. It could be about 65 degrees in
like
Miami.
Today, right? You could have worn shorts.
100%. Yeah. In fact, I did have like a polo on yesterday. It was nice. Which honestly, it felt even more so because we just came back from DC.
Yeah.
Where if that top coat wasn't on, I'd have been SOL.
It was cold.
You know what I mean? So like it felt great to me in particular. But yeah, I think that's one of the things we were actually talking about that when we were in DC, when people were asking like, yo, NRG Stadium, what's up? Like, yeah, man, they keep the roof closed all the damn time because 72 is better than whatever else is happening, right? Like if you could keep that AC right where you want. That'll work. Let's see.
Maybe it is the roof.
Somebody said specifically about Tyreek. He got more baby mamas here in H-Town, they said. He does have a lot of young children right now. He is
13?
In H-Town? Are the girls from H-Town?
I don't know in particular. I think that was the unserious part of it. And I guess it's all unserious if you start talking about the babies. But yeah, man, Tyreek, he is doing the coming to America, sowing his wild oats.
He is absolutely doing
sowing
that.
His royal oats.
His royal oats.
Yeah. He is all over the place. The food, the humidity. Teams think they're playing the same old Texas. Well, if that's the way that they're coming about it, they are getting rude awakenings. This defense is really, really giving people problems. Starting up front, Daniil and Will just been incredible. Honestly, the secondary, they stood up, man. Like, they stood up in a big way. That was one of the things that we had a level of, I don't know, concern about. We were watching that when it comes to, ooh, are big plays going to be available?
Mm-hmm.
Where were the big plays there, necessarily? They broke a couple of, they got some yak with maybe a missed tackle or two, but it felt like this defense did a fantastic job even limiting the explosives.
Yeah, I mean, maybe their bodies are just not used to not the humidity in Miami's case, but just in general, the Houston humidity in general, you know.
I think they have a turkey leg withdrawals. Turkey leg cuts.
They couldn't stop by turkey leg cuts, so they all their powers were gone.
They think they're in a library. Man, they're taking some shots at the crowds.
Yeah, there's a lot of
or maybe they went to the library, the one I was trying to get y'all to.
Yeah, there you go.
The one that opened up at 12 a.m.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They were like, let's go do some studying right before the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm not reading that on Air 281. I'm not doing that. I appreciate the cleverness of it. But yeah, man, it's been impressive what this team has been able to do to quarterbacks. I guess Will Levis outstanding when they come to NRG Stadium. And you know what? That's going to be really helpful on Christmas Day when Lamar Jackson comes in, because Lamar has been a problem. He was a problem yesterday as well.
Almost showing his bare butt.
his
pants up.
Oh, that's going to be one of my confessions.
How embarrassing is it, I need to wrap this up, but how embarrassing is it to get run by a dude who is actively holding up his pants?
Yeah.
Right,
that's embarrassing.
That's got to be tough.
Hey, I'm sure cops say that all the time.
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like the whole tenet of the show Cops was about watching dudes get run away from the ankles
trying to run.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 after a Texans victory. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, widen it out, talk about some of the other things that happened around the league, including an injury that could factor in major to the Texans Week 16 game. We'll talk about that next.